The thrilling adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week by the Blue Coal Dealers of America. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gene Paul King, pinch hitting for his sick pal, Ken Roberts, and telling you that the Shadow starts his adventure in just a moment. But first, are you starting off the right way these cold winter mornings? Does your furnace send up quick heat the moment you open the draft? It will if you burn Blue Coal. What's more, with Blue Coal, you'll have a truly comfortable, well-heated home all day long. So next time you order fuel, be sure to ask for Blue Coal. You can get Blue Coal and free information on low-cost home heating from your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. Give him a call first thing in the morning. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's story, Nightmare at Galesbury.
Close the window, nurse. It's beginning to pour again.
Yes, Dr. Blair.
Now, sir, why do you wish my death? Can't you understand that we here at the sanatorium are doing everything in our power to restore your health of mind again?
I don't wish your death, not at all. That's not the case at all, you know.
What is, then?
It's difficult to explain. That is, I don't quite... Ah, there. There, we saw the lightning then. Now we know that thunder is coming. There, you see. We didn't wish it, but we knew it must come. Just so do I know that death is coming for you, Dr. Blair. There are more things in heaven and earth than you dream of, Doctor.
What's led you to think of my death?
I've been told about it.
Told? Who's told you?
There are more things in heaven and earth than you
dream. Who has told you?
A greater intellect than either you or I speaks to me, Dr. Blair. All the many things I know, he tells me. He who no one believes, just as no one believes
me. Cagliostro again.
Yes, the immortal Cagliostro.
Count Cagliostro died in the Bastille in the 18th century. He died. He's dead. Can't I appeal to your reason to give up this ridiculous obsession? After all, you were a man of science.
Well, I am a man of science. I am. My grasp of science is the greatest in the world, sir. He teaches me. He guides my hands.
Yes, 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 yes.
Your brain, your puny brain, is too dull, too blurred, too limited to comprehend the vastness of my knowledge.
That will do. The interview is over.
Such a scientific nonentity as you, Dr. Blair.
Well, McPherson, return the patient to his room, miss.
Yes, doctor.
Return to my room, Such a feeble-minded dabbler is not fit to be apprenticed to a man of my stature.
Are you Dr. Blair?
Yes, McPherson. Take him away.
Come along now, sir.
Very well. I'll go. I'm your patient and your prisoner. But believe me, there are more things in heaven and earth than you dream of, Doctor.
Well, best I could do.
Strange.
Strange? What?
How he keeps repeating that. More things in heaven and earth than you dream of.
Well, he was one of our foremost scientists once, you know. Experimented with insulin in mental cases long before the rest of us dreamed of the possibility.
Successfully?
No. His most important experiment failed. An experiment on which he had based all his hopes.
I see.
Contrary to all his theories, a patient, a young girl, I believe, died after treatment. It was too much for him. His nerves went, and after that, he lost all confidence in himself. It was then, as a kind of compensation, that he developed the idea that the ghost of Cagliostro watches over him.
You take quite an interest in this case, don't you?
I suppose I do. I've been working desperately hard to cure him.
You work too hard, Doctor. Much too hard. I don't believe you've had a free moment in weeks. Oh, really, Dr. Blair, you should relax, you know.
Well, nurse, Friday night I'm having friends down for the weekend. You've heard me speak of them, I think. Lamont Cranston, Margot Lane.
Oh, yes.
And I mean to let everything slide and do nothing but enjoy myself until Monday morning.
Good.
Maybe Monday noon.
Even better. It's a risky business for a man in your life.
What is it?
You notice how the lights are dimming?
Yeah, the storm. I hope it doesn't upset the power plant at Galesbury.
You're going fast. I guess I'd better get some candles.
Say.
Yes?
What was that?
What?
Didn't you hear anything?
No.
Well, maybe you're right about my nerves, hmm? Perhaps I'd...
I heard that.
It was a shot. Listen, there's some kind of disturbance in the hall. Call MacPherson.
The lights are gone. I can't find the door.
Hurt yourself?
No, just stumbled.
Find it?
Yes, but it won't open.
What do you mean?
It's locked.
Locked?
From the outside.
Impossible. Let me try it. Here, I don't see how... It is. MacPherson. MacPherson. Where are you, MacPherson? MacPherson. MacPherson, can you hear me? Open the door.
All off for Galesbury.
Huh. The village of Galesbury.
Oh, fresh air.
How's your head, Marco?
Oh, still aching nicely, thank you. Is this where Bill Blair lives?
Oh, no. He lives about 15 miles over that way.
15 miles? Oh, how many cross-town blocks is that in round numbers?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'd say approximately plenty. But he's sending a chauffeur for us, m'lady. Never fear.
Are you sure he said Friday night, Lamont?
Oh, absolutely. We're to pick him up at the sanitarium and then adjourn to the manor house for a weekend of Bill's fresh milk, fresh eggs, and old stories.
Oh, Lamont.
Buy something, please. Buy something. Buy something, please. There's a blade.
Well, no, thanks. Afraid I don't need a thing.
Buy something, mister. Something you need, mister. Buy something, please.
You see anything you like, Margo?
No, not a thing, Lamont.
What?
Oh, listen. Didn't you say you promised to bring your sister's boy a present?
That's right, I did.
Well, there, we do need something after all.
Buy something, please.
Oh, here, just the thing. Look, yes. This jackknife.
Very nice, sir. Very nice. 50 cents, mister. 50 cents.
Well, Lamont, I said I'd bring him something useful.
Well, now, look, my dear, I was a boy once myself, and a knife like this would have come in very handy.
Very handy for a trunk murder, if you ask me.
Very nice, sir.
Here you are, old man.
Buy something more, please. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You got the knife?
Uh-huh. Right here in my pocket. Oh, I say, remind me to call Weston around 10, will you, Margot? He may want to drive up and join us.
All right, I'll remember.
How's your head?
Still aches.
Bill will know exactly what to do for it when we get there.
That is, if we ever do get there.
Oh, we will.
You go sanitarium? Dr. Blair's, yes?
Why, yes, yes. Are you Bill's chauffeur?
Dr. Blair's chauffeur. Named Thorful. Car waiting. You come.
Quite a chauffeur Bill's got. What do you suppose he is, West Indian?
I say so. He must be all of 7 feet tall. A man that size could crack a skull with two fingers.
I hope he likes it.
So do I.
Come now. Car waiting.
But I don't particularly think he does. Coming.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in, lady.
If you'll just tell the doctor that Mr. Cranston and Miss Lane are here...
Thorful tell. Please, you wait here.
Thank you. Well, handsome little place Bill has here, isn't it?
Yes, it's handsome, but I could easily develop an attack of the creeps just the same. I'll be glad when Bill plays. What's that?
Knocking. Well, the door over there. Somebody in the other room wants to get in. I'll see. Yes? What is it?
Will you open the door, please? I'm locked in by mistake.
Oh, just a second.
Good evening. You know me?
Know you? I... No, I don't think I do.
Well, that is unfortunate. I must then introduce myself. I am Sigmund Arnold, the world-famous organist of whom you must have heard.
Sigmund Arnold?
Yes.
Why, yes, we've heard of Sigmund Arnold, but you...
Careful, there's a patient. Just agree with him.
Oh.
Why, of course we've heard of you, Mr. Arnold. We're delighted.
Dear child, thank you. I came here to be treated for my nerves. They were never too good, you know. And now they won't seem to let me out. I haven't minded so much until tonight. But I have a concert at Angelus Hall, and I really must be there. Will you Will you be good enough to help me escape?
Good evening, Miss Lane. Mr. Cranston, I am Dr. Griswold. I do hope I've not... Oh, see who's here. Number 8, you know you're not allowed in the reception room. Tarfu! Tarfu!
Dispatch.
You'd better take number 8 to his room, Tarfu.
Oh, no.
And I think it might be wise to lock the door.
Yes, Doctor.
I will not be locked in. I won't be locked in.
Strange case, number 8. Most unusual. Oh, I beg your pardon. Won't you sit down? What can I do for you?
We've come to see Dr. Blair.
Oh, yes. Dr. Blair was called away on an emergency case. I think he'll be back shortly. Can I offer you something? A drink, perhaps?
Well, thanks. The only thing that could possibly tempt me would be an aspirin.
Headache?
It's a beast of a one, Doctor. Since early this afternoon.
Oh, too bad. Nothing quite so distressing as a headache. But we'll have that fixed up in a very little while. Just come along with me, Miss Lane.
Come along?
Yes, into my office.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mr. Cranston will excuse us. Do help yourself to that drink if you change your mind. There in the cupboard, cigarettes in the box, and the radios in the cabinet behind you. Come, Miss Lane.
Oh, I say, Doctor, won't an aspirin do the trick?
I have something far, far better than aspirin.
But I never dreamed there was anything better for headache.
There are more things in heaven and earth than you dream of, Mr. Cranston.
Did you ring for me, Mr. Weston?
Oh, yes, Sam. I dozed off. Has Lamont Cranston phoned?
No, sir, he ain't.
I thought maybe I'd missed it. I'm expecting him to... there it is. I'll get it, Sam. I'll get it. Hello? Hello? Oh, hello. Who? Oh, Bill Blair. Hello, Bill. Huh? Bill, I can't hear you. What is it? What's the matter? What? Gatehouse. What gatehouse? What? Tell Lamont what? He's with you, isn't he? Isn't he, Bill? Bill, what in the blazes is going on? Bill! Bill! Oh, Bill!
Taking a long time with her headache. Maybe I will have that drink. Cupboard, he said, didn't he? Or, what in the name? There's no liquor here. This thing is jammed full of books. I wonder if there are any cigarettes. Well, no cigarettes either. Well, maybe the radio works. Ah, success.
You are hearing a series of compositions played by our studio organist. We are sorry to announce that the organ recital originally scheduled from Angelus Hall has been canceled due to the mysterious disappearance of Mr. Sigmund Arnold, the noted organist. Mr. Arnold, whose famous technique has thrilled many...
Sigmund Arnold? Mysterious disappearance of What? Griswold! Dr. Griswold! Dr. Griswold!
Gentlemen.
Oh, it's you, Tofu. Look, there's something very strange going on.
Gentlemen. Doctor sent me to tell you young lady's headache very bad. Very bad kind of headache. Must make treatment at once. Most important. Take long time. 3-4 hours. Maybe 5. He asked me, asked you. You want to wait?
If I want to wait? Say, what is this? Where is he? Let me by.
Gentlemen, no coming here. Tarfu hurt him bad.
You want to see me, Mr. Cranston?
Yes, what the devil does he mean? What's the matter with Margot?
Incipient dementia precox, I'm afraid, Mr. Cranston.
What?
A dread malady, but you need not worry. I shall nip it in the bud, as the saying goes, by means of a treatment known only to myself.
Where is she?
I'm afraid I can't allow you to see her.
You can't allow me to see her? Now listen to me, Griswold. We haven't asked for treatment, and I demand that Miss Lane be released immediately.
You demand? You demand? Of course, Mr. Cranston. Just as you say, sir. As a matter of fact, if you really prefer that I don't treat the girl, I shall...
Oh!
It's awful, my pet. Well done. Your master approves. The timely blow, the splendid timely blow. Now, Mr. Cranston, what are your demands? You don't speak. Take him away, Tarfu.
Lodge him in the gatehouse with my other enemy, where I shall attend to them both in my good time. In my good time, when I have treated Miss Lane's aching head, when I have proved to the world that the great spirit master Cagliostro guides my hand, that there are things in heaven and earth beyond men's dreams.
Will Lamont be able to save Margot? We'll find out in just a moment. But right now, I want to say a few words about the product that makes this program possible. All I'm going to say to you is this. Heat your home with Blue Coal, for action speaks louder than words. And Blue Coal certainly gives you action. Fast action in the morning when you want a quick flow of ready heat to the upstairs room, and steady action all day long. Yes, for comfortable, even, dependable heat, morning, noon, and night, you can't beat Blue Coal. For Blue Coal is America's finest hard coal. Mined thousands of feet below the ground, in the region where only the very best hard coal is found. So insist upon Blue Coal. You'll find your Blue Coal dealer friendly and eager to help you with free information on low-cost home heating. Ask him about the Blue Coal heat regulator, the economical modern thermostat that opens and shuts furnace dampers automatically. It will save you thousands of steps and cut down your fuel bills, too. Blue Coal and the Blue Coal heat regulator make the modern combination for convenience, economy, and comfort. Your neighborhood dealer's name is listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the words Blue Coal. Phone him tomorrow. And now, back to Lamont Cranston.
No, not touch her. At least immediately. Where in the... Oh, yes. Who's there? I can't see you. Who's there?
Lamont.
Bill. Bill, is it you?
Yes. Where's my Bill?
With Griswold.
Griswold? Why, he's one of my patients.
What?
Yes, he's obsessed with the idea that Cagliostro is his guardian angel. This is just the opportunity he needs to use my insulin.
Insulin?
Yes, he's absolutely fascinated with it. Cause of his downfall.
Bill, do you think he'll...
I think he'll undoubtedly kill her if we don't stop him.
There's no hope of Tofu being...
He's another one of them. Griswold's absolute slave.
Oh.
3 days ago, they attacked my male nurse, McPherson, and killed him with his own gun. When they broke in the door of my office, I tried to get out through an emergency passageway under the building. But Tofu caught me, took my keys. The next thing I knew, I was regaining consciousness here in the gatehouse with my leg broken.
Bill, we've got to get out of here.
Yes, try and do it. A few minutes ago, Tofu caught me putting in a call to Weston and ripped the telephone off the wall.
Didn't you say something about an underground passageway?
Yes, but that's out in the grounds. Can't do us much good.
Got to get to Margot. Maybe we can work the bolt from the inside, Bill.
It wouldn't help much if we could. The door opens out on the highway, not into the ground.
Oh.
Besides, Lamont, you'd have precious little time to work with Tofu coming to the door every few minutes to make sure his birds haven't flown. I tell you, I wouldn't come to grips with him armed with anything less than a revolver.
But can't you handle him psychologically?
That's quite a job, old man. His one weakness is a wild obsession with cutting instruments, swords, razors, and all that sort of thing. As dangerous as dealing with the worst sort of trunk murderer.
Yes, I see. What was that?
I said trunk murderer.
Trunk murderer? Come in handy for a trunk murderer, if you ask me.
Now, what are you talking about?
Something Margaret said earlier this evening when the world still seemed sane. If they didn't rifle my pocket, then... No, here it is.
Here what is?
Something with which to fascinate Tofu. A real shiny, sharp, long-bladed jackknife. Do you get the idea?
Yes, I think I do. I think I do. Say, there's a chance with that, Lamont. The one real chance we've got left. Now, let's see. He'll come back any moment now, and when he does, I'll be convinced.
Here he comes. I'll occupy him with the knife while you sneak quietly away. And what about the wall?
There's a low place in the wall about 90 feet below the gate. I think with luck, you'll be able to get over it while I'm coping with Tofu as best as I can.
You know what you want, Doc?
What?
The salt of the earth.
You're here?
Yes, Tofu, we're here.
Good. No, go away.
Come in, Tofu. I've got something to show you.
No one to see.
Oh, you'll want to see this. Strike a match, Lamont.
There you are.
Look, Tofu. Look. Look how it shines. Sharp, too, like a razor.
Oh. Knife.
Yes, a knife. Here it is. It's yours.
No.
Come on, touch it, Tofu.
No.
Well, we thought you'd like it. We thought you liked sharp things.
No.
Why, it's all for you, Tofu.
All you have to do is take it.
No. No. Give me. Tofu one.
That's right. Now sit here beside me, Tofu, and you can have it.
Good luck, Sir Galahad. Get over the wall.
Like it, Tofu?
Tofu got knife. Shine. Shine. Sharp. He got knife.
What a life for an officer of the law, riding around with you in the back top of a motorcycle.
Hey, Finnegan, look, will you? What is it I see on top of the wall yonder?
I don't know, but I see it myself.
Why, it's the sanitarium figure. Say anything, Finnegan.
Well, maybe something's happening at last, O'Shea. Come on, me boyo. We'll give him a bit of a surprise.
What's going on here? Housebreaking?
Listen to me. No time to waste. I'm not a thief. I'm from inside.
Oh, then you're not breaking in. You're breaking out.
Yes. Now, look. The man inside who is presumably the doctor is, as a matter of fact, a madman.
Oh, I see. The doctor is a madman. Well, now, isn't that just the way they always talk, O'Shea?
Now, please, don't make any mistake. My name is Lamont Cranston, and I'm
sure trying to... you're a fine gentleman, and we're just going to take you back to the good doctor, where you'll be safe and comfortable.
Oh, no, you don't. Grab his ankle, O'Shea.
No, come listen on, to me. I'll cut you on the Lamont Cranston. Ah, thank you, officers. You've done your duty in returning the patient, but I'm afraid I can no longer be responsible for him. 4 breaks in 1 month, I really must ask you to take him into custody and hold him until I can arrange a transfer.
Well, I guess it's in the line of duty.
Yeah, now, just a minute. Say, doctor.
Yes, my good man?
This fellow said his name was Lamont Cranston. Now, I've heard that name before somewhere, and I wonder if...
you need not wonder a moment longer. They're all like that. Just a moment. I'll demonstrate. Number 8.
What do you want? I've missed my concert, you know.
Now, Mr. Cranston, as you call yourself, who is this patient?
He's Sigmund Arnold, the world-famous organist.
What? Sigmund Arnold, is it? Out you go, my fine boy. Grab him what? There, O'Shea. Good evening to you, doctor. A fine balmy evening to you. Now, come along, you, and... Now, take it easy, and nothing's going to happen to you.
I only want to point out to you for the record, gentlemen, that Dr. Blair, the real owner of this establishment, is in that gatehouse over there at the mercy of a black monster 7 feet tall.
Sure, I know. With green eyes, and snakes are coming out from the top of his head, eh?
Go off.
Now, come along now, and enough of your talk.
Help!
What in blazes is that you hear there?
Now, what is it? Throw your light over there. Look at the window.
Sure, heaven preserve us. He's right. 2 men are fighting over there.
Two men? A man and a giant of your
sneak. Don't you!
Master!
You should have held your fire, man. The big one has run out on the highway.
Don't worry about him. The slave won't deserve the master.
Well, one of us is loony, Mr. Cranston, and I'm afraid it ain't you. I want to say right
now... No time to talk now. You attend to Dr. Blair. I have an appointment, an urgent appointment, to keep with Griswold.
No. No, please don't. No, don't.
The time has come, my bird.
No, you can't.
Now, with the aid of the master hand that guides me, I shall heal you.
No, stop it.
Oh, Cogliostro, remain with me.
No, no.
What? Who's there? I can see no one.
Shadow.
Of course you cannot see me. No one has seen me these 300 years and more. I am that master spirit of whom you prattle such vain nonsense.
Cogliostro.
I have come to tell you the truth, mortal. Cagliostro does not guide your hand. Never has he helped you, and never will he.
It's not true. No.
Who would know better than I? I am that power in which you believe. I am the great spirit whom you thought watched over you. I know you not, mortal.
No.
Release this girl. You have no skill. You'll only blunder again. And I, who know all, tell you this.
No. If that is true, then I am nothing. Nothing.
You were something once and can be again. Go to the doctor who is watching over you. He can help you. Go to him.
No. No, it's all over. I'm a failure.
Where are you going?
Through a passageway which leads under the building. To
to death.
If you attempt to escape, they will kill you.
It doesn't matter.
Come back. Come back, Griswold.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing. Nothing.
Lamont, where's Margot? Is she all right?
Here I am, Bill. Safe and sound, thanks.
Oh, good, Margot. Where's Griswold?
Look. Isn't that someone moving along the wall?
Throw your flashlight over there. There's something there, all right. And
why, it's Griswold. Griswold, what are you doing?
Don't come any closer, Dr. Blair. This last trick is mine.
He's got a gun. MacPherson's revolver.
Yes, gentlemen. MacPherson's revolver.
He mustn't get away. He's completely out of control.
Well, what can we do?
What's that?
Look at this, Dr. It's Torpo.
Master, you not leave Torpo. Not leave me, Master.
Stand back. I'm going over the wall alone.
No, leave me. No, no.
Back. Back, I tell
you. You know, leave me.
Stand back, Torpo. I'm armed. You're not.
Torpo, armed. I got knife.
Put. Put down the knife. Knife. Torpo. Put down. Back.
No. You go. And Dolph will go.
He's dying. Is there nothing we can do for him?
Nothing but pray for both their souls. Pray for both their souls.
You have just heard Sigmund Arnold in the program scheduled for last evening. Mr. Arnold is now bowing and...
Well, God's in his heaven again.
Lovely weekend.
Well, I'm afraid it wasn't very restful. My dear friend, I shall weekend hereafter in the pastoral calm of Broadway and 52nd Street.
But I did get something out of it, you know.
What was that?
My headache. It's completely gone.
In just a moment, I'll introduce our special guest of the evening. But first, here's a man who needs no introduction, John Barclay, America's home heating expert. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Gene Paul King, and good evening, friends. I want to take this opportunity to compliment the Blue Coal Dealers of America, as well as all the trained graduates of my John Barclay Heating School, on the splendid work they're doing. Thousands of letters from grateful householders all over the country have convinced me that more people this year than ever before are taking advantage of their neighborhood Blue Coal Dealer's free John Barclay heating service. So if you have any heating problem, follow their wise example. Just phone your neighborhood Blue Coal Dealer and tell him you want the free advice of a John Barclay trained serviceman. Give him a call tomorrow and start to enjoy better home heating at less cost. Thank you.
And now we present our special guest of the evening, Mr. Albert B. Hines, director of the Madison Square Boys Club of New York City. Mr. Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Yu. It's indeed a privilege to be a guest of the good guy, as our East Side boys admiringly call the Shadow. Each week, he's convincing more and more boys that crime does not pay. Like our own boys, most boys are fundamentally honest. Yet many adult criminals have started their careers with a boyhood first offense. As time went on, they came to believe that the only thing wrong with crime was getting caught. Crime, however, is wrong in itself and should not be taken lightly. So parents, treat the first offense seriously. Treated lightly and neglected, crime becomes attractive. Therefore, if everyone should learn, as our boys learn from the Shadow, that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Mr. Hines. We hope you'll be with us again. Today's story is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow magazine. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, the Blue Coal Dealers of America bring you an adventure of the Shadow that will thrill you as you've never been thrilled before. So be sure to listen, and be sure to phone your friendly Blue Coal Dealer for greater heating comfort at less cost. This is Gene Paul King saying, keep the home fires burning with Blue Coal.